Can you imagine that just for a moment? If all of a sudden, the first time in your life, you were able to pick up the Word of God and read it in your own language. That would be awesome. That's the reason why you saw them portraying the Holy Word on that day, January the 9th, 2010, in Nalwandi, were able to read the Word of God in their language. And this word is being carried throughout the world. Now, when it goes throughout the world, and that last person receives Christ, is coming back. Before that happens, though, what you and I are going to experience are things that maybe sometimes we don't want to think about, talk about, or even experience. And so I want us to kind of capture this and understand some of the feelings in the time. Matthew Chapter 24, we're going to begin looking as we see God's Word being developed right before our eyes. When are these things going to happen? Let's read in chapter 24, verse 1 again. Then the disciples went out and parted from the temple. His disciples came to show him the buildings of the temple and said to them, "Do you not see these things? Assuredly I say unto you, not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down." Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" We began last week, 2 weeks ago, we began developing this thought at the end of the age and what all it began to mean to us. We talked about the destruction of the temple. Tell us, when are these things going to happen? We notice in AD 70, the word of the Lord Jesus Christ was fulfilled, and it was torn down, and all that is left there is just a remnant of what is called the wailing wall. The sign of his coming, when shall these things happen? The future of the world, we looked at, the deception is clear, is a clear sign of the beginning of the end of time. And what are some of the clear signs? We talked about last week, the sparring of nations. In other words, the disruption of a social order and the shortage of food as a disruption of the food chain. And then I'm going to come back to this on this, Larry, right here. Spread of disease, shaking of earthquake, spring of sorrow. What is happening? Now, just wanted to say, okay, God, these things are leading up to the great tribulation, the tribulation, the great. All of these things, this is just the birth pain of those things that are happening. And we see some of these things developing right before our eyes. In other words, the disruption of social order. I'm going to call this the Benjamin effect. And all of this is introductory for about the first 15 minutes, okay? So y'all bear with me. Well, we're looking at the Benjamin effect. I want to tell you a story about the social disorder. The story was, a man married this woman. In that period of time, she was called a concubine, but it was still his wife. The wife played the whore. She went back to her father's house. After several months, the man went after his wife, went to the father's house, where his daughter was, and her father was glad to see him. And so he said, stay here before you return. The man came back and showed his wife, who had been living wrongly, showed her great love and kindness. He said, I want you to go back with me. And therefore, he went after his wife. Day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, they stayed there and celebrated. And the father-in-law kept saying, stay with me. Late the afternoon, fifth day, says, no, I'm leaving. He takes his servant, he takes his wife. And they moved back going toward the mountains of Ephraim. And as they were traveling back, they went through Jerusalem. And he said, look, we're not going to stop in Jerusalem because there's no believers there. They went on to another step. They went into Gibeah. When they got into Gibeah, they went to the center of the town and they sat there. Nobody came and invited them into the house. Darkness came. Darkness fell. Then all of a sudden, this elderly gentleman came in. And he said, what are you doing here? He said, we're waiting, but nobody asked us to go in. He said, here, go home with me. He said, I'm also from Ephraim. Come on. And so he went into his house. And while he was there, they ate. They were enjoying life. They were celebrating. The knock came at the door. The men of the city, the men of Benjamin, that's the reason I call it the Benjamin effect. The men of Benjamin came and knocked on the door and said, send this stranger out so that we may know him carnally. And y'all understand what I'm saying? So that we may know him carnally. The old man in the house said, no, don't do this terrible thing. Here, I've got two virgin daughters. Take them. And the man said, here, I've got my wife. Take her. And he took his wife, pushed her out the door. The men took her, used her, abused her all night long. When the day started to break, the woman crawled her way. She put her hand across the threshold. There at the door, she couldn't go in. She got her hand on at the edge of the door, and there she lay. When the man came out the next morning, he said to her, come on, let's go home now. Let's go home. And she didn't move. He reached down. He picked her up in his arms. He carried her back to their home. At that point in time, when he got back to the home, he took his bride, he took his wife, and cut her into 12 pieces, and sent her throughout all of the nation of Israel, and said, come, see what has happened. The nation of Israel had never seen anything so horrible as that. So they all came, and he told them the story, how that he went into this city in Gibeah, and the men sought to abuse him carnally and thought would kill him, and how they abused his wife, and she died. The men of Israel said, we're not leaving until these men are avenged. And they made a covenant right there that nobody in the 12 tribes, the other 11 tribes, nobody would give their children, their sons, and take wives from the Benjamin. They gathered up, they went, so many from each tribe, to that city, and said, give us these men who did such a horrible thing, so that we may take them out of this world, and this injustice be satisfied. The whole tribe of Benjamin said, no, we will not give up these men who did this terrible thing. And so therefore they went to battle. And as they went to battle, the nations began to converge. The Benjamites were strong warriors. First day, 10,000 killed. 10,000 Israelites killed. 15,000. 25,000 Israelites were killed by the Benjamites. And then he went to the priest and said, should we fight? He said, go, and he would deliver. On that day, the Israelites went, attacked, set a trap, burned the city, and killed that day 35,000 Benjamite strong warriors. Why? Why? What is the Benjamite effect? They wanted to harbor sin, and they would protect sin at all costs. Why is it the Benjamin? Why is there a social disorder? Because in Itawamba County, Itawamba School said, we are going to not have a high school prom because this girl said she wanted to bring this girl as her date. And so therefore what they said was, we will not have the prom. We will not harbor the sin. And now, across the nation, USA Today reported how that the nation, many people in the nation started rallying around, said that we will put on a free prom for them. Paul Saltz, who has the director of the movie Prom in Mississippi, said, look, I'll come, and as part of the entertainment, I will debut this movie that I'm going to show. A hotel owner down in New Orleans said, we will come and we will send a bus up there and bring all of these children down here to one of our installations, and we will have a party down there. We will bring the straight and the gay all together, and we will bring down there and let them have their party. Social disorder. What happens is, when you go back to the scripture and you understand what God's word says in the scripture, he said very plainly in the book of Leviticus that no man should lay with a man. No woman should lay with a woman. If they do, let them die. Romans chapter 1 says that when a man is turned away from God and the spirit will not dwell, he turns him over to do things that are uncommon. A reprobate mind. And yet, the kicker for this Paul Selt said these words, and let me quote, I want to quote this guy, Saltzman, I hope I pronounced it, Paul Saltzman, said, it's about tolerance. Ultimately, it doesn't matter whether it is white or black, gay or straight. He says, it's about tolerance. That is the Benjamite effect. We will protect those who sin, even with our very life. Sparring with the nation, disruption of the social disorder. Shortage of food, look at the disruption of the food chain. What do we know about here in Columbus, in Lowndes County? It's 13.4% unemployment. In the city of Columbus, 15 cities are being tracked right now. In there, it is 19% unemployment. Out of the 8 million jobs that were lost, New York Times said that the primary number of these is from the men. Three-fourths of the men are the ones who have lost these jobs. And so therefore, what is happening right here, we are seeing a disruption of the food chain. And we say, oh, it's just part of society. No, folks. When I read this, when I listen to this, I think I see the bud of the fig tree blooming. And as we begin to look, and if we went another step further, there's going to be a spread of disease that we talked about last week. How quick could that happen? How many people have been killed by swine flu since April? It was reported 10,000 people died from swine flu. Over 50,000, over 50 million people in America caught the swine flu. Half of them have been protected, half of them have received vaccine, and the other half are still exposed. It may not be over with. Why do I bring that up? Because Jesus said in those last days there would be this disease coming. How quick could the Lord Jesus send out a bug, send out a disease that would literally swipe through the world as we know it today? Disease. And then we talked about earthquakes. My goodness, at the earthquakes. Can you imagine what is happening? Chile. And then one yesterday in Japan, right off the coast of Japan, with tsunami warnings. I mean, earthquakes. All of these things are happening. And so you might say, what's going on? I can tell you, the fig tree is budding. What's going to happen to the church? There's going to be persecution. It's going to be hated by all nations. Defection. Even in the church, people will hate one another. They will be deceived by false prophets. Lawlessness will flourish. During this period of time, after one of the readers that I was reading talked about, because of the jobless rate right now, that many of the communities are literally changing their complexion. Because men are losing something inside of them, men have to have this work-oriented part of their psyche. And right now it's affecting it. And so therefore homes are coming under more pressure, under more tension, because of what's happening in the jobless market. And folks, the church has a great opportunity today to stand up and give direction and say, okay, man, you may be out of work, but you're not out of Jesus. You can be productive, even though you might not be bringing income. Train that child. Help that person. Fix that house. Help that neighbor. Your life is meaningful. And it can be used in a multiple of occasions, in so much that lawlessness does not have to flourish. Drugs and alcohol and abuse does not have to increase, especially in the household of the church. And then hearts will become cold. What God wants us to understand, and He's made a lot of covenants. First covenant He made was with Abraham. We call it the Abrahamic covenant, in which He said, I will make of them a great nation. Don't y'all love it when y'all dying for thirst and somebody drinks in front of you? I mean, that's good, too. Abraham, make a covenant. I will make you the father of many nations. Moses, I'll make you a covenant, and I will send the children of Israel out. And He showed the signs of the 10 plagues. With Abraham, He showed the sign of his son Isaac, who was born when he was 100 years old. Samuel heard the voice of God. Elijah validates with fire on top of Mount Carmel. Daniel validates his life, his ministry, his words by going into a lion's den and the lions becoming like putty cats. And all of a sudden, he could go up there and just rub their heads and they didn't touch him. Next bunch came in there, they ate him up before they hit the ground. Signs of God. God brings forth His signs. When all of these things happen that we mentioned about last week, that is the birth pains coming up to the birth of a period of time that is going to be called the tribulation, the great. And we're going to see it. I want to give you a sign that's going to occur right in the middle of it. Matthew 24, verse 15. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babies in those days, and pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. Visible sign. Let me give you something proof positive. As we begin to look at it, there's going to be the rise of the Antichrist. The Antichrist is going to set a covenant, a contract, with the nation of Israel. This contract is going to be for 7 years. And therefore, because he makes this contract with the nation of Israel, he's going to bring peace. He's going to help reestablishing of a temple there. There will be sacrificing going on in Jerusalem, just as though we had seen it in the Old Testament. This guy is going to be the funder. This guy is going to be the leader. This guy is going to rise up as though he's the savior of the world. The nations are going to believe him and thinking that he is the answer to all of these problems. When this happens, though, right in the middle of it, 3.5 years, all of a sudden he's going to take his mask off. And he's going to reveal himself for who he really is. Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblations to cease. For all the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured out upon the desolate." Daniel 11:31, "And the arm shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate." Daniel 12:11, "And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days." Anybody know what 1,290 days is? 3.5 years. What's going to happen? 3.5 years into this thing, when they're worshiping God, performing their sacrifices, 3.5 years into it, he takes his mask off and he says, "Here, let's put the statue where you're worshiping. Desecrates that which is holy." When that happens, God in his word has already instructed these people. Have we seen this happening before? We did. Antiochus Epiphanes, who reigned in Syria from 175 to 164. Antiochus halted the sacrifices in the temple, and he put in there, where the sacrifices were, a statue. We've already seen it bloom. That place, Antichrist comes in. Is the church ready? Is the church ready? Now, I got to qualify something for you. Before these 7 years of tribulation is going to kick in, before the clock starts, before that 7-year contract starts, before that time of peace begins, right there, when that last soul's been saved, there's going to be the rapture of the church as we know it today. If you're a normal congregation, though, only some of you are going to be raptured. Some of you who have not given your heart to Jesus Christ, the following Sunday morning, you will be back here. You will not have a pastor. You'll not have a minister of music. You will not have a Brother Jim. You'll have somebody here. Where did the church go? The church went up to heaven to be with the Lord. You will have been instructed. Many of you will have delusions. Many of you, your mind will be deceived. And yet you'll come and you'll think business is future. Why do I say that? Because the Bible says, "Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God. Only those that does the will of the Father." Only those who does the will of the Father. You see, some people are saying it really doesn't matter today. I mean, just like when we started talking about the memorization of God's holy word, putting God's word in our heart. Well, that's good for somebody else, but it's not good for me. It's for all of us. And blessed are those who are found working when he comes back. Because you see, when that moment happens, when the church is raptured out, when people will say business will go on as usual, it's not going to go on as usual. And we're going to see the wrath of God is going to make itself available. The church is going to be taken out. Jim quoted 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17 earlier. But what would happen to the nation of Israel during this period of time? Right now, the nation of Israel is a pagan nation, folks. They don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. They got a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. What's going to happen to that nation? When that time occurs and the church is taken out, God is going to, by His mercy and grace, He's going to pour down power and authority and glory. And many of the Jewish people are going to receive Jesus Christ as the Messiah at that time. And then what else is going to happen? There's going to be 144,000 Jewish preachers who are going to go all over the world proclaiming the name of Jesus as the Messiah to save the world. And out of those 144,000 evangelistic preachers who are going to go out of the world, there's going to be millions upon millions of Gentiles who will receive Jesus Christ. Now that sounds all well and good, but I got to give you the other side of the coin. The carnage, the destruction, and all what's going to happen. But let me capture this. Let me let you know what God's going to do in the nation of Israel. Revelation 7, 3 and 4, saying, "Hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard a number of them that were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of Israel. And I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and to the Lamb." At a great price, at a great price, this is going to happen. But because the Jewish people have been forewarned, let me tell you what else is going to happen. The Jewish nation has already been forewarned. And by the way, nuclear weapons that have been created were created for a purpose. No weapon has ever been created that was not used in war. There is coming a nuclear war on planet Earth. There is coming a biological war on planet Earth. And it's going to occur at least, maybe before this, but at least of this. It is going to be occurring during this period of time. And the carnage is going to be so great, so mounting, that it's going to be worse than the flood. You can say, oh man, the flood that occurred, how bad was that? Everybody was killed on earth, but 8 souls. That's only a drop in the bucket compared to what's going to happen. How do we know this? God has saved it to us right here. And He says, when you see this statue go up in the holy place, it's going to be such an urgent, it's going to be a planned flight. He says, verse 16, "Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains." When? Verse 17, "Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe to that child, to them that give suck in those days. But pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither in the Sabbath." What is He telling us? He is forewarning the Jewish nation, when the statue goes up, you don't go home. You don't go back and pack your bags. You leave right now. Because if you don't leave right now, then you will meet the wrath of the beast, of the Antichrist, of the false prophet, immediately. And so therefore He says to these who have now become believers, many of these Jewish, they will still be believers, and they will be Jewish. They will be Jewish believers. That's what they'll be doing. Now He says, leave immediately. Capture the moment. Visible signs of the great tribulation include holy places of believers being desecrated with statues of godless form. A peace treaty will be signed and broken by a leader of the nations. And when the peace treaty is broken, then there will be no time for preparation, only response. Because this is going to be a severe sign. Verse 21 says, "For then there will be great tribulation." In the Greek, it would be the great the tribulation. For such as not been since the beginning of the world, until this time, nor ever shall be. What is happening? Jesus prophesied of this unprecedented suffering on the horizon. Folks, how many people were killed in Haiti? Several. 150,000? How many people were killed in Chile? It was 200, I couldn't remember exactly. In Chile, around 500? 350,500? How many people were killed in Twin Towers? 3,500, 4,000, right along in there. 6,000 killed. But with the plagues of the Lord Jesus, God is going to bring forth the plague out of heaven and out of the depths of hell. He is going to use his angels, and he is going to use the demons out of hell to bring forth in seven bowls of trumpet, seven seals, seven bowls of trumpet. And out of this, just one of these, the seven seals, one third, what does that mean? 2 billion people will be killed as a result of this plague. 2 billion. I don't understand billions people. That means you take, what do we have, about 250 million in Mississippi, something like that? Yes. No, I mean 250,000. You've got people in Mississippi. Everybody. It's not that many. Maybe 2.5 million, something like that. I mean, you take all of Mississippi and all of Alabama and all of Florida and all of Georgia. You take, wait a minute. There's 300 million in the United States. 300 million. And we're talking about 4 billion. You kill everybody. Everybody in the United States, you kill them. And you're not even, that's not even 1 billion. Can you, I can't conceive the carnage. And we'll say, well, some will say, well, man, I'm going to wait. I'll take my chances. Jesus said, seven seals, seven trumpets, seven bowls. Billy Graham wrote in the book, The Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, said these words. It will be a time of nuclear conflagration, biological holocaust, and chemical apocalypses rolling over the earth, bringing man to the edge of the precipice. History will bottom out in the Battle of Armageddon. We already see its shadow creeping over the earth. Will man exterminate himself? He almost will, Jesus said. But just before man does so, Christ will come back. The demonized leaders of the world will have mobilized as antagonistic propagandists of the coming world anti-God system, probably headed by the Antichrist. They'll be gathered, we are told, together in the place that in the Hebrew tongue is called Armageddon. Revelation 16:16. What are you looking at right here? Revelation chapter 8:6, the angels will come. Revelation chapter 9:1-2, the bottomless pit will be unlocked and the demons of hell will come. And the carnage will begin. I can't see that thing. I know it's reality. And how bad is it going to be? Go back with me to verse 22. Matthew 24:22, and unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Severity of the suffering will be a period of time so severe the world has never recorded, nor will it ever reproduce the outcome. History in the future will not see its fair space. Men will lead an unprecedented mass destruction and will come close to the exterminating of the human race. But look how subtle this is. In verse 23, the scripture says, then, after these things have taken place, okay? After all this carnage and war and nuclear bombs, and after all this biological warfare is turned loose and these chemical wars are turned loose on humanity, after all of these things, verse 23, then if anyone says to you, look, here's the Christ, or there, it says, do not believe it. For false Christ and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I've told you beforehand. How subtle is this? One more verse. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. What is the sign? What is the subtleness? What is the power? The conquering, convincing power of deception will fall. He said, you would believe it. Christians would believe it if it were possible. But did you get that conditional element right there? If you are born again, if Christ is living within your heart, you would not be deceived after the church has been raptured. Those who listen to the witnesses of the Jews, those who receive the Messiah, they will not be deceived. But it's going to be so strong. Jesus said, it was so possible. If it was so believable, you too would be deceived. Grace of God, the elect, the chosen, the redeemed. But what's going to happen is that people are going to say, lo, here's the Christ, lo, there's the Christ. He said, don't believe them, because I want you to see this. Verse 27. For as the lightning comes from east and flashes to the west, so also will be the coming of the man, the Son of Man. How fast is that? Can you plan for that streak of lightning? No, you can't plan it. But when it occurs, can you deny it? No. No man knows when Christ is coming. But when he comes, no man will be able to deny it. So don't be deceived by the many false prophets, false teachers, false people who say they are coming and know Christ. Many of them in our lifetime are saying they are the Christ. John 10:10 says, the thief cometh but to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and enter it in abundantly. To summarize this, catastrophic things will occur. Verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and glory. What I want you to see here, this period of time is going to be such a struggle that even heaven itself is going to be shaken. Because you see, right now, Satan has access to heaven. And he's before the Father accusing. But when this time comes, there's going to be a battle even in heaven, and God's going to kick Satan out of heaven and say, boy, no more. Divine the earth. No more. The demons of hell will be released. And after all these things occur, the Son of Man comes on the picture in verse 30. And he says, he appears in heaven. All the nations of the earth will mourn. Those who have rejected him, they're going to mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming with clouds of heaven with power and glory. How did Jesus leave out of here, folks? Oh, we say, well, he died on the cross. Wait a minute. He left out of here bodily. Didn't he rise up? Did he rise up supernaturally? Did he rise up in the glory cloud? Yes, he did. And when he comes back, he's coming back in power, and he's coming back in glory, and all the nations of the world will see it and will know it. And the good news is this, and he will send his angels with a great trumpet, And they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. When Christ returns, he says, let's have a family reunion. Those that were blown apart by nuclear battles will rise. Those who are in heaven now, my granddaddy, my grandmama, have come with them. Those children who knew not the Lord died before they gave the age and accountability to us. In all directions, Christ will save his angel. And if he burns on Jerusalem, Christ will set up his kingdom. He will rule on this earth for 1,000 years. At the end of that 1,000 years, Satan will be released for a short period of time. And then he will be cast into the eternal life. Then eternity will begin with no tears, with no sadness, with no sin. We need heartbreak. Next week. The budding. Father, as we come before you this morning, we understand now, Lord, we hear, and with your Spirit we understand that we need to be ready right now. Father, for those who, if they died at this moment, would meet you as their judge, I pray, God, right now, they'll get on their knees and they'll repent of their sin right now, Lord. May we stop soft-pedaling this thing. And may we just say, just like it is, Jesus, Lord. So God, I pray there'll be people that'll get on their knees this morning and repent of their sins. And Father, those who are going to see Jesus as their Savior, God, may we, in our heart, fire up with the gospel of Christ. Doing what's right. Keep doing what's right. Keep on doing what's right. And keep on doing what's right, witnessing the good news of Jesus. God, right now, we need men and women to commit their lives to you. Lord, we're seeing some of the birth pains in our country right now. We are experiencing some of the birth pains, even in our count in our town. And so many will say, all this will pass in time. But Lord, there's coming a time when it's not going to pass. God, prepare us this day. We pray in Jesus' name. The time of invitation is now. You got a choice. You are to die this moment. You would meet Jesus unprepared. You would be to make a judge. You would die this moment, and you're prepared. You would be to make your Savior. And the Bible says, blessed is he who is found serving for the things. Service, folks. Service. Service. May God re-intensify our service. Folks, I can't put it any more plainly. You don't know Jesus. And we give you that opportunity this morning. And that love and the remaining of you by the weakness of that moment. What about you? What about you? Let's stand and sing. Be prepared for the end of time.